The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Will Smith's on the ice. What a pass back. Mukku Madulin celebrating. Shot. Score!
Eklund Celebrini set up by Mukku Madulin and Smith. And the Sharks have a 4-2 lead at 7:58 of the third.
All right. What is happening, everybody? We are waking up on a two-game win streak after a back-to-back on the road in Toronto. They get the shootout win. And then on Tuesday night, they get a dominant 6-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. And the Sharks were the better team from start to finish. I think that was the most impressive aspect to me. They have been playing really, really good hockey throughout the entirety of this road trip, and now they are getting rewarded for it. And I think that that is, A, just what they need, but B, indicative of the progress that they are making, because they came out of the break playing tighter, better overall hockey. A 3-2 loss to Calgary, in which they had their chances. A 2-1 overtime loss to Winnipeg, a game that they probably should have won. A 4-3 overtime loss to Montreal, a game they probably should have won. Then we go to that 5-3 loss to Ottawa. That's the worst game they've played on this road trip so far. Then they get the shootout win finally against Toronto. And then last night they are just dominant start to finish against the Sabres. Now they've got the last game on the road trip coming up against Colorado before they're finally home after a month away from the tank. We'll all be back at the SAP Center and having a good time. But, you know, there have not been a lot of great moments this year for San Jose, a lot of, amazing wins or anything to that extent. And this was not an amazing win. I'm not going to say it was and anything like that, but it was a sign of the future. And that's what we've been looking for all year long. We've been looking at just the young players and what they can potentially do for the future. You look at William Eklund, a 2-point game, Will Smith, a 2-point game. You had Shakir Mukmadulin, a 2-point game for him. You had Macklin Celebrini getting a goal. You had young players making contributions start to finish. And I think that's what I really liked the most about this. You also had three D-men with multi-point games. Love that. Liljegren, Mukmadulin, and Wallman. That's the ninth time in team history they've had at least three do so. And the last time was January 17th versus Detroit. It was only the second time they did so on the road. The other time was December 4th, 2000 at the Flames. They had 8 points tonight by Sharks players age 23 or younger. That is the most in a road game for San Jose since December 29, 2007 at Nashville. The team record for a road game is 12. And also, if you're looking at most games with a goal and an assist this year for rookies, Macklin Celebrini has 7, Will Smith has 7, and Matvei Michkov has 7. Another stat out of this game, just to give you a little bit more historical context, Celebrini, the youngest Shark to score in Buffalo, age 18, 264 days. He is the only San Jose Shark in history to do so. So very, very impressive for the Sharks across the board. And again, the young players contributing is just the best part to me. You had Shakir Mukmadulin with 2 points. You had Will Smith with 2 points. You had William Eklund with 2 points. You had Fabian Zetterlund with a point. And you had Colin Graf with a point. So that gets you to 8 points all combined. And again, we are looking at signs for the future. And this was a pretty big sign that things are headed in the right direction. But my other aspect of this game that I really, really liked is the fact that they had an answer. They were scoreless in the first period. It was a productive period for both teams in terms of creating opportunities, but they couldn't find the breakthrough. Finally, it was Timothy Liljegren who got the Sharks going with his 6th of the year. And that was just a minute into the period. And then just 4 minutes later, you get an answer from Buffalo. It's 1-1. And the Sharks, they don't let the game get away from them. Then they get the answer from Nico Sturm late in the period that makes it 2-1. Third period, William Eklund with his 13th of the year makes it 3-1. Tage Thompson strikes back to make it 3-2. And then not even a minute and 5 seconds later, it was a minute and 3 seconds later, Macklin Celebrini makes it 4-2. That's a quick answer. And then Will Smith, this was the one that really shut the door, in my opinion. He scored to make it 5-2 at 12:49, and then Tyler Toffoli with the empty netter. So for San Jose, in a road trip that has not always rewarded their efforts, it was finally rewarded tonight, start to finish. And you also have to give a lot of credit to what they were able to do to get over the hump the night previously in Toronto. I mean, it was improbable that back-to-back wins were going to come in this stretch of being back-to-back at Toronto and Buffalo, but that's where it came. And that's why we've got to give the Sharks a lot of credit throughout the entirety of this game. No, they did not score on the power play in this game. The penalties were at a minimum. They had 6 penalty minutes to the 6 for Buffalo. It was a simple, clean, productive game, start to finish. And this also happens not just on the day after that they go out there and beat Toronto and snap their 8-game slide, but it's also as news is breaking that there is the potential of a trade for Vitek Vanacek, who was held out for trade reasons. So you've also got that little bit of a, not a major disruption. Listen, these guys are pros. They all know what they're getting into. They all know that it's deadline time of the year, but it is something that I think they all probably, you know, we're at least talking about, like saying, hey, you know, we thought we were going to start Vitek tonight. Now it's Georgiev again on the second night of a back-to-back. Georgiev played a great game, by the way. I think that's, you know, very much to his credit, and you love seeing him have these good performances. I know that there's been a lot of people who have been highly critical of Georgiev, but, you know, my first interview with the guy right when he got here, he was a super nice dude, seemed excited to play for San Jose and prove himself. And, you know, I think that he's had some ups and downs, but you know, there's also been times where the defense has not been great in front of him and he's had some bad breaks, but that is professional sports. But he keeps on coming back for more. He keeps on showing up and doing his best to improve. So his performance on consecutive nights in a back-to-back, you know, he was great for San Jose. He came up with big saves at big moments, and that's, you know, that's the way you do it in the NHL. You make the big saves, and then the offense goes out and provides support on top of those big saves. So yeah, that's where San Jose was able to find themselves in this game. But, you know, and I know this is a podcast, it's not live, so by the time it gets to you, there may have been a change in terms of the VTech news. But for right now, San Jose has not made anything. We don't know when things are going to happen or if they are even going to happen. We just know that there was at least something going on that led them to, you know, keeping VTech out for trade-related reasons. That's something we're not going to ignore. But also, at the time of this recording, nothing has happened yet. But I also think it's important to note that the Sharks getting it done with their young players against the Sabres feels like it has more gravity because the Sabres are pointed to consistently as one of the teams that's been stuck in an endless rebuild. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the Sabres because, as I've said time and time again, if there were some clear path to making your way back into contention, then every team would go about doing that. But it felt like we were seeing two sides of a coin of where, you know, a rebuild can go one way and a rebuild can go in another way. And I know that you can look, point back at that and say, well, Ted, you know, the Sharks aren't exactly killing it compared to where the Sabres are right now, because the Sabres, although they're not amazing or anything like that, they do have 54 points, which is, 11 more than where San Jose is. So yes, they are a better team points wise over the course of the season. But, you know, just to me, to watch these guys have more of an impact as we get later into the year, your Mooks, your Eklunds, your Celebrinis, your Smiths, your Graffs, that holds, you know, it carries weight to me. It has gravity to it because that's exactly what you need to see. If you are trying to plan for the future, you are trying to figure out what all these players can bring to the table, and ultimately you are hoping that they are going to bring exactly what we've been seeing. The fact that they can give you such a good level of performance, the fact that they can give you points in big games when you're on the second night of a back-to-back on the road in, you know, hostile territory. You know, Buffalo, although it is not, you know, a world beater franchise right now, it's always a difficult place to go and play. And I feel like over the years, Buffalo has always played the Sharks surprisingly tough, regardless of what their record is. But you see these young players that San Jose has improving before your eyes. And that's the whole point of this year. I know that we would have loved it if they had had some incredible run and made their way into the playoffs, but I do think that they were more focused on developing the talent. And I don't think that's me going out on some wild ledge by making that claim. This year was about implementing Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and eventually Colin Graf and getting more out of Henry Thrun, Shakir Mukhmudulin, Yaroslav Askarov. Jack Thompson's obviously gotten his opportunity here. And, you know, you're trying to get these young guys and figure out what they can do for the future. And while some of them are completely, you know, etched in stone as being part of what I would consider a 5-year plan at the very least, and probably like a 10-year plan with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, you're also looking at some of these other younger players and seeing if they can play. And the answer is yes, right? Like, you're looking at these guys developing into big time players. Will Smith is playing like he's going to be a star in the NHL. Macklin Celebrini is continuing to play like a star in the NHL. Shakir Mukhmudulin, obviously, he's getting his reps in. He's figuring things out at the NHL level, but he is becoming more and more of an impact defenseman. Just watching him use his physicality, just watching him use his stick, just watching the game slow down for him. Colin Graf, we've probably had the least look at him, but I feel like he's getting better and better with each passing week, which is exactly what you were hoping to see. You want these players to be getting better before your eyes. You want them to be improving, and we're watching them all improve. That's my favorite part about all of this. And so you are getting the overall correction after an 8-game losing streak that leads you to 2 straight wins. And then you're also getting yet another glimpse at the future, especially not just one guy blowing up. It's multiple guys on the young side of things that are coming through with big time points. And also you can go back to a night previously where you had a Jack Thompson coming up big. You know, these are the things that you're hoping to see. And I know that it's not as satisfying as clinching a playoff spot, but you have to make progress first before you can continue to take those steps forward. And that's what San Jose is doing, at least with their young players. The young players are better now than they were a couple of months ago. They're certainly better than they were at the start of the season. And that has been the point of all of this. And you would hope that next year, when more of the young guys are involved with what San Jose is going to be doing, that you have them kind of hitting the ground at a little bit higher level just because the team is going to be that much better overall. They're going to have that much more support. They're going to have that many more guys that are used to Warsawski's system. That's what you're hoping for overall. You start turning that wheel of prospects making their way into the first team. You start implementing them amongst the veterans, amongst the young players who have a better idea of how to handle themselves in the NHL. You get that wheel turning in the long term. I mean, previously the Sharks were able to do it by bringing up your Logan Couture's, your Joseph Pavelski's, your Tomas Hertl's, you know, your Timo Meier's. These were big time players who were able to be impactful for the San Jose Sharks. And there's others we could name as well. But, you know, you look at a team like Boston and the way they've been able to bring in their young talent over the years. You know, they've done a really good job of situating themselves for success in the long term. And I think that's probably what Mike Greer wants to do. It's not just about the here and now. It's not just about the next, you know, 3 years of just draft, and then end it. No, it's you want to have that prospect system that is consistently bringing guys in, that is consistently developing talent and allowing you to have those players in your system be supplementing your team to where you're not always having to go out and make those big money acquisitions to try and fill in the gaps. Now, yes, if there's the guy that you want to go out there and get him, go sign that big contract. But I think Mike Greer has been very patient and for a point, because when he does want that money to be spent, he wants it to be for the right guy at the right moment that will lead the Sharks to be that much better than what they've already been able to bring in on their own. All right, we are going to talk with Curtis Pashelka, more of a conversation I had with him from the buildup before yesterday's game against the Sabres. Did want to get into some of these highlights, though, because Ruzanowski was on point last night. It started off with Timothy Liljegren putting the puck in the back of the net for San Jose to give them an early second period lead.
In front of the net, chance for the Sharks. Liljegren shoots. How did that not go in? That bounced off of something and ricocheted away. Liljegren was skating down into the right circle, had a really good angle, but somehow that puck stayed out.
At 18:59, the puck completely crossed the goal line. We have a good goal.
And so there it is. The Sharks find themselves in front 1-0. As we said earlier, we did get an answer fairly shortly thereafter from the Sabres, but the Sharks always had an answer. So it's 1-1 after the 5-minute mark, but then in the closing minutes of the second period, Nico Sturm comes through with his 7th goal of the year, assisted by Colin Graf and Klim Kostin.
Kostin out of Graf, moving in. Nice little toe drag. Slides to the slot. Tip, shot, score! Nico Sturm took the deflection and bangs it in. Sharks lead 2-1.
So tell me if you've heard this one before. The Sharks were up 2-1 entering the third period, only to find things go awry. Well, that's not what happened in this game. In fact, early in the third, via William Eklund, assisted by Tyler Toffoli and Shakir Mukhmadulin, Sharks built on their 2-1 lead, making it a 3-1 game.
Toffoli, right side point, holds the puck, spins it off the boards, and there's Eklund in the right corner. A centering attempt, score! William Eklund passing the puck. It went off of Luukkonen, and it trickles in. The Sharks have that insurance goal they desperately need, and it's 3-1 San Jose.
And this is another one of those moments in the game where San Jose had an answer, because Tage Thompson, about 5 minutes after that goal from Eklund, made it a 3-2 game. And they're on their home ice, obviously, in Buffalo. That's where momentum can go the wrong way for San Jose. But they put their noses to the grindstone, and they came up with more. Macklin Celebrini, his 19th of the year, assisted by Shakir Mukhmadulin and Will Smith, all part of that youth movement.
Will Smith's on the ice. What a pass back. Mukhmadulin, Celebrini, shot, score! Macklin Celebrini set up by Mukhmadulin and Smith, and the Sharks have a 4-2 lead at 7:58 of the third.
They wrestled control of the game back to themselves, and then they had the answer. That's what's been lacking in so many games this year, where the Sharks were able to retake control of a game, put the pedal to the metal, and start building upon it. And that's exactly what the Sharks did, as after Macklin Celebrini made it a 4-2 game, then about 4 minutes later, 5 minutes later, Will Smith, with his 12th of the year, assisted by Fabian Zetterlund, made it a 5-2 game.
Intercepted by Zetterlund, and he bounced it out. Only one defenseman back for Buffalo. Down the left side, it's Will Smith across the line, holding it, shooting it. He scores! Will Smith rips the shot short side, gets it right past Luukkonen, and now it's 5-2 San Jose.
Will Smith, game after game after game after game, just putting up points. And then an empty netter to seal the deal, if there was any doubt. Tyler Toffoli with his 25th of the year, assisted by Jake Walman and Tim Liljegren.
Here's Toffoli now, empty net, shoots from his own zone, score! Tyler Toffoli makes it 6-2 with an empty netter. And that is going to seal the deal for Sharks hockey with a minute 59 to go.
Not to point out the obvious, but how many times this year have we seen the Sharks in a situation where it is 2-1, where a situation where it is 3-2 and they're leading, you think, just build on this, just build on this. You go to the game against Winnipeg. That's one that I immediately think of. It's like, if they can just get one more goal, they might be able to break the game. And breaking the game is something that is a real thing, by the way. Like, you can, overall, in a tight game like that, if you get that second goal, I think that can mentally defeat a team. In a game against Winnipeg, it was always going to be difficult, predicated upon how talented they are, because that Jets team is, they're good. For, I mean, come on, they're good. But in a lot of games this year, if you can get that little bit of a buffer, if you can turn that one goal lead into a two goal lead, make it that much more difficult to climb back into it, give yourself a little breathing room. That's what the Sharks haven't been able to do. That's what they did in this game. We've watched it time and time again this year, the Sharks incapable of building upon their lead. But in this one, every time Buffalo got close, the Sharks pulled away. It's 1-0, it's 1-1, then it's 2-1, then it's 3-1, then it's 3-2, and then quickly thereafter it's 4-2, then it's 5-2, then it's 6-2. There would be no Buffalo comeback on this night. This was San Jose, just as they've been doing arguably for the entirety of this road trip, playing their best hockey. And I think that's the most important thing out of this, is the Sharks are playing not just, you know, it's not just about the performances from the young guys. I'll be the first to say that I love that, but it's also that the team collectively, at a point of the season where they know that even if they have not been mathematically eliminated, they're not making the playoffs, but they're still playing hard. They're still competing. They're still going all out in every single game. And yes, there have been some bad games, no doubt about it, but they're still fighting. And especially, this was a game where they would have had every excuse in the world. It's like, well, they finally snapped that losing streak. It was a shootout against Toronto, and then they had to travel to Buffalo on a back-to-back, and they just found out that there was another trade going on. There was distractions, or at least something to that extent, even if nothing's happened at the time of this recording. Like, there were built-in excuses about why the Sharks were not supposed to win this game. Instead, they went out there and they put forth one of their best and most complete games of the year and walked away with a second consecutive win. That, to me, is phenomenal. That is exactly what everyone was hoping to see, at least if you're a Sharks fan, and they went out there and they did it. All right, before we get to Curtis, let's hear from some post-game audio. Alexander Georgiev, another impressive game for the San Jose Sharks. Two straight wins for him. He walks away from this game with 20 saves, two goals against, 909 save percentage. And I believe, if memory serves me correct, to a stat I saw earlier before the game, that in his history of playing back-to-back games, his save percentage was like 907 or 909, something right in line with that. So yeah, he lived up to his statistical background. Here's Georgiev after the game, asked about managing or conserving his energy in a back-to-back situation.
Yeah, I just tried to, like you said, save some energy, and it almost felt like a continuation of the game for me, a little bit with a lot of emotions yesterday, and you just try to approach it that way. Just keep going, continue the game, fifth period or whatever.
He was also asked about the importance for himself and the team about stringing together consecutive wins.
Feels great. Everybody should be really proud. I felt we played great today. We're on the offense in the first, in the second too, and in the third got the job done. Big goals at the right moments, and it felt very good.
A big moment in the game was when the San Jose Sharks took a 3-2 game and turned it into a 4-2 game. That seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back. Macklin Celebrini coming through for the team at a very, very important moment. This is what Georgiev had to say about that goal.
Yeah, very important. I feel with the mindset was not to sit back, but to attack, just like we did in the Toronto game. And when you do that, good things happen. It was a great shot, I think, defensive screen probably. He's a great player and knows how to create.
We've all noticed that the defense for the Sharks has been tighter and better since coming out of the break. This is what Georgiev says he has seen.
Yeah, they're playing very well, and there is this desperation a little bit to get the big blocks and make the right plays. I really feel that's making a big difference now. We're just more poised, and feels like doing a lot of good things to keep the puck out of the net at the right times, and it's showing.
And he also had some nice things to say about Mark-Edward Vlasic, who became the NHL's all-time block shots leader by blocking a shot in the first period of last night's game.
Yeah, just incredible. Incredible achievement to be number one in the league overall ever. It's special, and I'm sure he's very proud. His relatives should be proud, and the coaches. Just incredible player, a great teammate. It feels like hasn't played in a while, but he got back into the lineup and just making all the right plays at the right time. You can see he's a special player, very, very nice player.
All right, as promised, I did speak with Curtis Pashelka yesterday. You can listen to more of this interview from the build-up, but this is what we didn't get to. And I was asking him about the Sharks' inability to finish. It's something that I've seen throughout the entirety of the season. They've had looks on open nets, but have not been able to put the puck in the back of the net. So that's what I was asking Curtis about as we get back into the interview here.
Yeah, I mean, you do look at a lot of, the Sharks, have at times created a lot of chances this year, just haven't been able to finish. And I don't think it's a huge surprise from my standpoint anyway, just because the Sharks, the players they brought in, from last season to now, or even the players they kept from last season to now, a lot of them, aren't necessarily known for putting up huge numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at Alex Wennberg, and he's a great two-way player, and he's playing very well right now. But you look at throughout his career, and generally speaking, he's been about a half a point per player per game type player. And so you weren't necessarily going to get huge numbers from him. And so Tyler Toffoli, you can put it in the bank for 30 goals a year. But some other guys like Barkley Goodrow, Ty DeLandria, Carl Grundstrom, some of these other guys that they brought in this year just weren't big time goal scorers, but they're hard workers, mm-hmm. and they're great players in their own right. But just not necessarily, you know, premier goal scorers. I expect that to improve, you know, as the years go on here, as the Sharks add some more, you know, true talent, skill, to this lineup, and then you do find, you know, you're able to finish those chances that they work hard to create. And, you know, they're still one of the lower scoring teams in the NHL. There's no getting away from that. But as you go through this process and you add more talent and skill and playmaking ability, then, you know, you create more chances, and obviously, you know, more often than not, we'll score more goals off of those chances. So it's just a part of the process the Sharks are in right now. They don't necessarily have the roster that's going to put up 3.5-4 goals a game on average. They got to win games 3-2, 2-1, or as you saw last night, you know, 3-2 in overtime, that kind of thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here with the rest of the season. But I think that's an area the Sharks will want to shore up this offseason, just to bring in a little bit more skill, if not from internally, then you know, from the outside, either through trade or free agency.
And as a final one for you, as I go to the great marketing minds of Curtis Peschelka, you know, you've been around hockey your entire life. You are Canadian. How does the NHL make sure they capitalize on the success of the Four Nations as much as possible? Because when that was going on, the amount of people who were saying things to the point of, it's incredible to compare this versus what the NBA is doing with their All-Star weekend right now. Like, it was like that juxtaposition was an incredible bit of marketing, but I feel like once again, like, they're not kind of capitalizing. I don't, like, what do you think the league needs to do to make sure that people continue to tune in like they did for not arbitrary tournament, but this was not the Olympics. You know, I know that they're bringing back the World Cup of Hockey, but this was not, I don't think anybody expected it to be quite as big of a hit as it was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, going in, it was a situation where, are these guys going to really, you know, go all out and totally buy into to this tournament, which is kind of a made-up event. And, you know, there's nothing really at stake here other than national pride. But I think that's, you know, the players were so hungry for best on best, or at least an international event like this, that they knew it was an incumbent on them to put their best foot forward and to play and to treat this like it was the playoffs or an Olympic style tournament. So I think the Sharks are not the Sharks, but just players around the league kind of grasped that. And you know, you mentioned sort of how popular the event became, and you know, that final between Canada and U.S. almost drew what, around 10 million viewers on ESPN or something like that. So you know, you're right. It's kind of then you're just back to the normal grind. I do see, you know, breakout stars like Brady Tkachuk and Matthew Tkachuk and some other guys. Obviously, you know, Connor McDavid has always been a star, but it is sort of a situation where maybe after that tournament, instead of just going right back to the grind of the NHL season, maybe you could have had a tour with these guys, you know, getting some FaceTime on ESPN, you know, morning show, the Today Show, or just something, whatever it might be, whatever talk show, Drew Barrymore show or something like that. You know?
It's true, though, but I mean, there's good personalities.
Yeah, I mean, you can get some of these guys out in front of cameras, not your traditional, you know, hockey type shows, but just, you know, players like, you know, if it truly was an event that grasped people's imaginations and riveted, you know, to two countries like it did here in North America, then, and, you know, it's a perfect opportunity to try to follow that up and get these guys on, you know, late night talk shows and just things along those lines, just to kind of help build the familiarity with some of these players. Because, you know, a lot of American audiences, a lot of Americans, you know, tuned into their first hockey game that night of the Four Nations final and probably wanted to know a little bit more about some of these guys.
Right.
And so I think that's, you know, I think the NHL will kind of take a look at kind of what works, what doesn't. And after the Olympics coming up next year in Italy, you know, I think that's something that, which will, I'm sure, get big audiences back home here as well, even though the games won't necessarily be live in prime time. We'll still be getting a lot of viewers, and then you try to, after that event, whoever wins, if the Americans win, Canadians win, or whatever, to get these guys out in platforms that aren't necessarily traditional hockey platforms, I guess.
We are all out of time. Big thanks to Curtis Pashelka for joining me and the San Jose Sharks for giving us another win to wake up to. I will see you all on Thursday as we prepare for Colorado. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Rainey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.